I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or dsw.com.
It's Friday here on Candle X, the Dave Glover Show. Dave out one more day, and he'll be back on Monday. Rachel Zimmerman, Andrew Stolz, Kevin Wheeler with you here. We've got a busy show. Bernie Miklas going to join us at 2:30. Sue Thomas will join us for the 2 o'clock hour. I hear she has a couple of burning questions for Bernie.
Awesome.
I made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, Sue hasn't been on in a while, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, that'll be great. So Sue Thomas will be in at the 2 o'clock hour. Bernie at 2:30. Alvin Reed is going to join us around 3 o'clock. Dave Murray at 3:30. George Mahey at 4 o'clock. And then we're off into the weekend and somewhat back to normal. We were texting, all of us were. Dave was texting us, I should say. He sent us some cool pictures from the vacation. It sure sounded like, by his description, they had an amazing time.
Yeah, looks like they had fun. So hopefully he got lots of rest and relaxation on the beach, and he's ready to go on Monday.
So in your guys' experience, which is I think Dave's doing this the smart way. Like, today is travel day, which means he has two chill days between a good long vacation and coming back to work. Most of my life, I come back the day before I go back to work, which is a terrible thing. It's a terrible idea to do it that way. And I've done more on longer trips to try to give like a buffer day. So you've got like one day at home. What's the worst day for you guys after a vacation?
I mean,
obviously some of it depends on the vacation, right? I mean, going to Japan is a bit of a task compared to going to Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, the first day back at work is obviously like a little challenging, but I don't know. I think it's good to take a little time off. I'm going to say 99% of the time when I take time off work, I am really ready to come back to work. But, you know, I'm able to get like that reset that I needed. And then I'm looking forward to coming into work. So I feel very fortunate that, you know, we get to work in a job that you feel that way and you don't go like, oh, my gosh, I have to go
in and mess
tomorrow.
Around with your friends for 4 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, what was it like coming back from the L.A. trip? Was that?
I mean, yeah, it's good. I have not dealt with jet lag really.
That's good.
Of more than like I guess a couple hours maybe. So like I physically I always feel fine, and you're ready to. It feels a little weird to be gone for too long. Like as nice as it is, it also feels a little strange. Like you're just as a person of routine. Typically, it just feels a little strange when you're like, you know, that was like a whole week that I was gone. And so it feels a little weird to have your like fifth weekday where you're just not at work or whatever. And so you start to get a little itchy to like, all right, I would like to, you know, as much as I would like to get back to actual work, I would just almost like to get back into my typical routine.
I get that. I think some of it is, at least in my experience, a lot of like the shorter what I would call normal vacations where like you go visit family for 4 or 5 days or whatever, that doesn't feel as difficult to come back from because I'm doing my normal things when I'm there, right? I'm staying up to date on what's happening on Twitter. I'm reading the normal stories that I would read for all the outlets that I read, and I'm watching games and all of that. It's when you do the different ones, like for you, Rach, Japan, or like the LA trip where you've got activity after activity because it's a big family thing with a wedding. The time I went to Italy in the middle of September leading up to the baseball playoffs was super weird coming back. It's like, I haven't seen a game in, you know, 9 days, and you try to keep up, but it's really like, it all depends on what the vacation is as to how weird I feel coming back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, like if I feel like I've been out of the loop, then I'm like, oh man, this is going to take some time and it's going to do all that. But I gotta, when I come back, I know I need to come back because I got to get the words out. If I don't get the words out, it gets tough for a while. You know, like there's a lot of words in there in the head and they need to come out because then I can not have them in there anymore.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Then it's everybody else's problem.
I get all backed up with words, man. Backed up with words. It's not great. Because I use words when I'm on vacation, but they're different, you know? I'm not talking about the Cardinals or whatever other things. We're just talking about normal, doofy things. And then the other words back up in there and you got to get them out. But Dave will be back on Monday. Things will return to our version of normal on Monday. And then, of course, this weekend is a nice, quiet, looks like not much going on kind of a weekend. So we'll be looking at Cardinals and Cubs all weekend, which is nice. I mean, you
Very nice.
Good rivalry series starting up tonight. Cards and Cubs going at it. We'll have, again, we'll talk about that with Bernie in a little bit. And we'll do that on the Redbird Rush Hour with Bernie and Matt Pauly and me, the three of us together doing that as well. And some interesting news today. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it now, just a little teaser for you. And you can go back and listen to the Gas House Gang around 12:15 today. They had Ollie Marmol on because he had invited Yadier Molina to come be a part of the coaching staff for a couple of days. Just sit in the dugout, be around the guys, you know, offer insights, whatever. So he's doing that this weekend, spending a couple days in there. And look, a weekend is not a huge commitment. It's not going to make a huge impact. But it's interesting in that it could be getting a taste of it and maybe trying to see if you want to do more of that kind of thing moving forward. And the most interesting thing to me, I don't know if you guys would think of it this way or not, but this is not so much a sports angle. But when you think about this from a bigger thing, there's a huge segment of Cardinals fans that want to replace Ollie with Yadi. Yet this manager, though, is confident enough and is cool enough to be like, no, I'm going to invite that guy in and put him in uniform and have him in there because I respect that guy so much and I think he can do a lot for our team. And I find that to be pretty cool. Like, I know what this is going to set off. I'm already seeing some of it on social media where like, yeah, this should be permanent, fire the manager. And, you know, I think it's an amazing show of being a secure person to invite someone that a lot of the fan base wants to replace you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I'd agree with that. Why, Wheels, can I ask, like, why is Yadi such a popular choice to replace all? Is it just like, that's just a name everybody knows?
Okay, well, he and Albert are both kind of in the same level of that, right? So a lot of it is just the name recognition that, I mean, not just name, but these are all-time great players.
Right.
Right?
But and does that always translate into great managers?
Not necessarily, but they both have that. They both have the traits that would take to be a great baseball mind.
Okay.
Right? Like Yadi is considered one of the greatest catching minds of all time, and catchers have the most duties on the field, right? They're calling pitches, they're arranging the defense when the ball is in play. They're doing a lot of things, and Yadi has been widely viewed as maybe the best of all time at those things at his position. And when you look at the history of major league managers, a lot of the best ones are catchers, former catchers. So when you combine Yadi's just popularity, right? I mean, he's one of the most popular players in modern Cardinals history. If you look at the last 30 years, he and Albert are the two most popular. And that's not to, well, I'd throw Waino in there too, but it's not to disrespect anybody else. But Yadi had such a long run. I think his popularity exceeds Albert's in that he never left here.
Right.
He was here for 20 years and was your everyday catcher for the vast majority of that time. And he's been such a staple, and he kind of represents what people love, right? He's that working class dude. You know, he's not 6'4". He's not the fastest guy. He doesn't hit the farthest home runs. He just does the hard things really well, and he grinds. And I think people love that. They love the fact that he stayed here his whole career. And when you take that into account to the skill set that he brings and the evaluations, the views that people in the sport have of him as being one of the smartest baseball people, especially one of the smartest players in modern times, that's why that you get that kind of swell towards it. And I'm sure for each person that wants him, one of those things weighs more than the others in each person's mind. Like, everybody's a little different. So when you combine that with, you know, Albert, as an example, as a great, great player who's also kind of now become a great communicator. He's doing TV. He showed great leadership in his time with the Cardinals at the end of his career when, you know, he knew he was coming in for a part-time role and didn't mind, and then eventually just turned into the full-time DH because he had such a great second half. But those guys are, and they're schooled in the Cardinal way, right? Like, they came up as Cardinals, so I think there's an attachment to that kind of throwback to the better times too, right? They are symbolic of maybe the best era of Cardinal success. If you look at the 2000s, it's been, I mean, until the last two or three years where it's gotten a little dicier, most of the 2000s, you were easily the best team in your division. You were one of the two or three best teams in the National League. And I believe they have the second or third most playoff games played since the year 2000. So when you think of that era, two World Series wins, and both of those guys are a part of those, and that just era of success, they also represent that, which, you know, makes them an easy set of guys to rally around from a fan's perspective. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they want to manage. You know, it doesn't mean that the new guy that's the shot caller is going to be Hyde and Bloom. Doesn't mean that they're his preferred candidates, and maybe he likes Ollie, and maybe he wants to do something else, which is all part of this great unknown that we're going to be facing. But anyway, I thought it was cool of Ollie to do that. I think it's not going to change the course of the season, but it, you know, that little taste of it could spur Molina into maybe wanting to be more a part of things on a regular basis moving forward. And we'll talk about all of that later on with Bernie Miklas, and certainly Bernie and Matt and I during the Redbird Rush Hour as well. So just kind of the news of the day for the Cardinals, and we'll bring that back when we're talking ball.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, it is like the move of a secure person to do something like that. And that definitely fits in with, like, at least my view of Ollie these past couple of years. Someone who definitely comes across as self-assured, secure. You know, I don't feel like he's ever like wringing his hands like, oh, no, what do they think about me? Like, I've never gotten those vibes.
He's the first manager in a long time to come on this station to do the manager show and do it live on camera, half an hour on a weekday, and do it every week and enjoy it. And he's cool with being challenged by the guys on the show. He doesn't mind if Bernie or Ronge or Tom challenge him on anything. He actually reads the comments on the chat during the video. So you guys can see now, if you're checking us out online, people can throw any kind of comments in there. He takes on anything. He doesn't mind it. You can disagree with his strategies. I mean, heck, you listen to us, Bernie and Matt and Ronge and Tom and me and all of us. We're always questioning moves. That's normal. That's like baseball talk, because we're all playing this game where you're trying to manage along with the manager. But you can't question the fact that he's not afraid of any of that stuff. He's not afraid to answer for what his reasons are, and you don't have to agree with them. A lot of times I don't, but it doesn't matter in terms of what we're talking about. It's a guy that's willing to answer questions, which is always why I laugh at the "somebody needs to hold him accountable." Man, he answers all those things. If you don't like the answers, I mean, again, sometimes I don't. I haven't liked the answers when it comes to why you're not able to get more regular at-bats for Nolan Gorman. You know, sometimes the phrasing in return from him and from the team is, well, we can't. No, you can. You write the lineup. You can do whatever you want to do. So if you want to do something, you can do it. It's just a matter of whether you're willing to take the steps that it would require to do that. So it's fine to disagree, and that's what I love about the manager, is he doesn't care if you disagree. He's never once, to my knowledge, said anything to any of us. He never said anything to me about anything I've said on the flagship station when I don't agree with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that security is a cool thing. That's how Tony La Russa was, by the way. Tony La Russa was just like that. Mm. He was cool with that, taking explanations. He was taking calls, doing all that stuff, because, you know, you're more than happy to explain to people what you're doing, even if they're not going to like the explanation.
Very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Doesn't mean you have to think that guy's the manager of the future. I still think it's kind of a to-be-determined thing. You don't know a lot about somebody in 2 or 3 years. If you judge the first 2 or 3 years of Tony La Russa's career, you probably wouldn't have thought he was going to be the Hall of Famer that he was. So you give people time and let them do the job.
Blow out that cherry bomb. Blow out that cherry bomb.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
That's Friday on DGS. Rachel, Andrew, and Kevin hanging out. Dave back on Monday. Guess I wanted to spend a couple of minutes. I don't know that this is going to have a long carry. It's an interesting story. It's a local story that we've been tracking here on KMOX. The newsroom's trying to track it down and figure out the details. I know KMOV has been on it. Other outlets have been on this as well. But This is one of those, you just like something is wrong here. Somebody screwed up really badly and somebody needs to be held accountable for that screw up. But I'll describe it quickly. We've all been talking about it off the air, so I've explained it. And Andrew and I were talking with Amy and with the newsroom about tracking down the story and the details on this. But Francis Howell School District hired a new superintendent in January. His name's Mike Dominguez. And before he was due to start on July 1st, he ended up quitting the job. And that was when the district agreed to pay him a lump sum of $230,000 to quit, despite the fact he had never worked a day in the district. Again, this is being reported all over the place. This is not any kind of secret information. And now, when I say that to you guys, when I say you agreed to pay someone the equivalent of 11 months of their salary, $230,000, to quit before ever working a day. Does that make any sense to you guys?
No, it doesn't. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, most people don't make close to that amount of money ever.
Right.
Like in a year, I should say. That's a huge salary.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the salary's $250,000. Superintendent of a school district's a big job.
Sure.
Right. So not really questioning that.
I would like you to do that job if you're getting paid for it, though. I mean, I think that's fair.
Right. So the point is, the fact that somebody's being paid $230,000 of taxpayer money to not work a day for that district sets off alarms, right?
Yes.
Because when I saw that story, I'm like, okay, there is clearly something wrong here. This isn't just a mutual parting of the ways. This isn't just he changed his mind and he wanted to move to another place. He wound up taking a job in Oklahoma 3 days after that settlement was reached. So clearly that process didn't happen in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Clearly there was a lead up to that where some leads were put out there and some things. I mean, like that right there, that's just me speculating on a job market. I don't know of too many people that get jobs of that kind in just 3 days without having, you know, think about how many people apply for those jobs, the interview process, the background checks that go into working in school systems, like all that. If that happened in 3 days, call me shocked. I'm not saying it's physically impossible. I'm just saying it seems highly unlikely, right? So that's got everybody digging because nobody thinks that makes any sense. And in the agreement to pay him this money, the board members are restricted from explaining why they're doing this. And this is another problem. Again, you're paying someone $230,000 of taxpayer money to go away after not having worked a day for the district. You should have to explain that.
Yeah, you're wasting everybody's money.
Yes.
The people deserve information on
yes,
this.
Yes, you should have to explain that, and hopefully some of our leaders in the state will force that because somebody did something terribly wrong. And I got to be really careful. I have stuff that I cannot say on the radio that does explain why this happened and how it happened, but it doesn't mean that there isn't someone who is to blame. In fact, I think there's more than one someone to blame. There's going to be when we get through the details on this. And again, our newsroom is working on it. Other newsrooms are working on it. I'll say this. One thing that KMOV reported today through speaking to a parent in the district where he came from. So Mike Dominguez came to the Francis Howell School District from Garden City, Kansas. And KMOV has a story up on their website right now that spoke to a parent in that district who said, quote, he wasn't going into work the last 3 to 6 months before resigning that job. So again, that's a parent in Garden City, Kansas, telling KMOV that Mike Dominguez was not going to work the last 3 to 6 months. And then also noted that there were several staffers that worked for Dominguez who left their jobs, which led to settlements nearing $500,000. So there was a problem in Kansas, and now there's a problem here, and the problem here is costing taxpayers $230,000. Needless to say, We are working on that story, and so are a lot of other people, and hopefully we'll have some really good ideas on that in the short term. Just after 1:30 on a Friday here on DGS. Again, busy day today. Sue Thomas is going to join us for the 2 o'clock hour. Bernie Miklas will join us at 2:30. Alvin Reed at 3 o'clock. Dave Murray, 3:30. George Mayhew, 4 o'clock. We'll get you into the weekend. Obviously, an interesting, fun weekend in the sense that you got a good rivalry series going on with the Cardinals and the Cubs. We know where the Cards are in the standings, and I know that diminishes some of the fun, but it's still Cards and Cubs. And then for a baseball nerd like me, it means it's still fun. And we'll be talking more about that with Bernie and then later on in the Redbird Rush Hour with Bernie and Matt Pauly and me as well. Razor's Edge, what are we going to do today?
That's a good question, Wheels. I saw a list that ultimateclassicrock.com put together.
All right.
And basically, it's a ranking of the 100 best classic rock songs from 100 different artists.
Okay, so only no artist can have more than one song on the list.
Correct.
All right, all right. I like that. That's kind of a nice way to get the cross section.
So we're not going to go over all 100.
Aww.
We don't quite have time for that.
We don't have like
let's do it.
We don't have 4 hours.
Yeah, let's do it. We got time.
Hey, it's Friday. Let's go. No, don't do that.
But I think we could do probably the top 20 if we
let's
go
roll.
Through them quick. Okay, so number 20 is the Eagles. Why don't you guys guess what you think
Hotel
the top
California.
Song? Ding, ding, ding. Hotel California.
And I bet Eagles
20.
Fans
take it easy,
that.
Rich. I think
yeah.
it's...
yeah, Hotel California is not even close to being my favorite Eagles
yeah.
song.
It's, no.
It gives me a headache.
I was my favorite.
Like thinking about this
yeah.
scenario. This sounds
it was
awful.
My favorite Eagles song when I was like 12.
Yeah, you didn't. We were like grasping what it all is, right? The what's going to be interesting to me, and I bet that a lot of these are going to be the songs that the most hardcore fans do not think are the best.
Mm,
but
okay.
maybe the ones that end up being the biggest radio hits, which is certainly Hotel California. Not
yeah.
the only, not their own. They had a lot of radio hits, but that's probably the biggest one if you look up the record sales.
Number 19, ZZ Top.
All right. Ooh, they got a lot. I
yeah.
think, let's see, their best song.
Riding down the highway.
The one that I would pick if I'm going to listen to all the ZZ Top songs, the number one would be Tush.
It's LaGrange.
All right, that's a good one too. Nope, they didn't do too badly there. Because a lot of people would be like Sharp Dressed Man, the more 80s stuff. But that earlier stuff is awesome.
Are they the band that's like, aha, aha,
aha?
Yes.
That's like that song where they do that.
That's it. That's LaGrange.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just never been like a
so
ZZ
next,
Top
play
person.
That one as the next rejoin.
Okay.
That's a good one.
The Doors come in at number 18.
Man, Light My Fire is probably going to be the song.
Riders on the Storm.
L.A. Woman.
All right.
Okay.
That's all right. I don't know that I would. I'm not a hardcore Doors fan, so I don't really have a big objection
Same.
One or the other.
Number 17, Ozzy Osbourne.
Crazy Train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's hard to argue with. I mean, it's because that's separate from Black Sabbath, and Crazy Train is so iconic, but there's some others that I might put up there that are as good, if not better.
16, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
I mean, you might think it's Born to Run, but it might not be Born to Run.
I think it should be Born to Run. It better not be Born in the USA.
It is Born to Run.
Okay.
Of the two Born songs, the correct one took the spot. Number 15, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
CCR. Oh, man. I hope it is Fortunate Son.
Is it Bad Moon Rising?
It is Fortunate Son.
Yeah, they have a good, you know, they're really underrated.
Oh, yeah. I love CCR.
Yeah.
I was just listening to them like last week in the car.
They weren't underrated in their time.
Right. Yeah, I feel like they don't
now.
Get brought up much nowadays.
Yeah.
Lynyrd Skynyrd comes in at number 14.
Freebird.
Actually, it's Sweet Home Alabama.
Good, good. Freebird's a great song, but you know the thing about Freebird is just super annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the thing that's good?
No, that everybody's like, Freebird!
Journey comes in at number 13.
Is it Don't Stop Believin'?
It is.
Okay.
Number 12, Guns N' Roses.
Ow. It's going to be Welcome to the Jungle, which is a great song.
It's actually not. It's Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, God, that's a good one. But no way you can pick that over Guns. No way you can pick that over Welcome to the Jungle.
There's no way.
You can't do it. I reject that.
Number 11, The Who.
Won't Get Fooled Again?
That Bob was O'Reilly. A big...
It is Bob O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's a great one.
Okay, we brought up Ozzy earlier. Number 10 is Black Sabbath.
All right, there's so many options. Paranoid would be my guess.
Yes, it is Paranoid. And just for the people who didn't catch it at the beginning of the segment, we are going over ultimateclassicrock.com's list of the top 100 classic rock songs from 100 different artists. We're doing the top 20. We're at number 9 now, which is Pink Floyd. This is going to surprise you, I think.
Yeah, this is a hard one for me because I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan. Like, my greatest exposure to Pink Floyd was seeing the show with Jimmy and the guys this winter.
Oh, El Monstero.
Yeah, Money? El Monstero. Like, that's the greatest exposure I've had to them. So I'll just say The Wall, but...
It's not The Wall. It's not Money. It's one of my favorites.
Wish You Were Here?
Comfortably Numb.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Huh, yeah. Okay.
Van Halen comes in at number 8.
Oh, man. This is going to really disappoint me. I'm going to make the prediction because I can't really pick. There's so many great ones. I would be thinking along the lines of like Unchained or some of the things that weren't as big radio hits, but it's probably going to be something stupid like Jump.
It's Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, that's a good one. They did a good job. I love that song. Great song.
You said that you're talking to a rambunctious dog. You're like, yeah. You did a good job.
You did a good job.
Good boy.
Good boy.
Number 7, Queen.
Man. I mean, it's hard. This one's going to be, you got about 4 that you're not going to go wrong with, but it's probably Bohemian Rhapsody.
You are correct.
And it should be because it's the most different rock song of all time.
Number 6, The Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Ooh. All Along the Watchtower.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We're going over ultimateclassicrock.com's list of the 100 best classic rock songs from 100 different artists. Number 5, The Beatles. This one surprised me.
Boy, and again, to repeat for the listeners, each band was only allowed one entry.
Correct.
So they had to pick basically what they would rule as the best song from each of the bands. I don't know, man. I mean, I would go probably. I'm not a Beatles guy, so this would make Dave very angry that I'm not a Beatles guy. But I'd have to go something from, you know what? Revolution. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite Beatles song.
You got guess, Andrew?
I'm almost inclined to guess Helter Skelter, but I don't think it will be.
No, it's actually A Day in the Life.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of random.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I don't mind it when they do that.
That's a good song.
Yeah. Thankfully, they didn't pick any of the, She Loves Me.
Yeah. One of those corny old stupid. No, I like all the Beatles songs.
Big fan of those songs.
Number 4 is AC/DC.
I mean,
it's Back in Black.
I was going to say, it's probably going to be that. It could be. But then again, I love AC/DC. I'm a big fan. There's not much difference between that one and their other 5 big ones. They're all kind of the same. Yeah.
All kind of giving you the same.
Yeah, same energy,
thing,
same vibe. Yep.
Okay, time for the top 3. I think you're going to be really surprised by number 1. Number 3 is the Rolling Stones. Which, again, Stones. They have a million hits, yeah, so there's a million things that could work here.
It's got to be Jumpin' Jack Flash common. Maybe Miss You.
I would be going Painted Black or
Wild Horses.
Or, what's my other favorite one? The protest song, the war protest song.
Oh, Gimme Shelter.
Gimme Shelter.
It is Gimme Shelter.
Oh, good call. That's my, that and Paint It Black are my 2 favorite.
Gimme Shelter is maybe their best song.
Yeah, it's great.
Number 2, Led Zeppelin.
Another one. How do you
Again,
get this wrong?
Again, a million wrong? Hits.
Can't
what
really
are you
get
pick?
This wrong. I mean, it better not. It's
is
probably
it
going to be Stairway.
It's not.
Stairway.
Good.
It's actually Kashmir.
Boom. Let's go. Love
okay,
it.
The number 1 of the 100 best classic rock songs from 100 different artists.
Coldplay.
No, the number 1 artist is Aerosmith.
No.
Wow, okay.
And what song do you think they selected?
It's got to be Dream On.
Is it Dream On, though?
Love in an Elevator. I like that one. That one rocks.
It's Sweet Emotion.
Okay, that's good.
So the one, like, that's the top classic.
But it's not. I thought that was
quite random.
It's a great song, and they only, I only like the Aerosmith from the old days, so like Sweet Emotion, like the all the stuff after the comeback. Now, at the time, I enjoyed. Now I look back and I'm like, it's kind of, Dude Aerosmith. Looks Like a Lady, that one. They're all fine, but. The older ones are better.
Did you see that the allegations against Steven Tyler are kind of resurfacing?
Are they?
Yeah. So there was a girl, I think she was 16 or 17 years old in the 70s, and she claimed she had a relationship with Steven Tyler while he was in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
And this all kind of came out during like the thick of the Me Too movement, but it's making its way back.
Is there a book or a lawsuit or anything along those lines? Or is it just kind of like got to new life
there
somehow?
There is a lawsuit.
Okay.
So I guess Steven Tyler's team is trying to dismiss the lawsuit, and now the woman is... is like striking back. And
I mean,
to the
sheer number of times those things happened in the rock world over the years is stunning.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely stunning. And going back to the old days, too, I'm not just talking about, you know, the 70s, 80s, which, of course, exist there, too. But you go back to Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, and you even bring it up to the like the 2010s. It was still happening.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
Alternative rock scene. I'm sure, I mean, I'm a lot of times, that's why people get into businesses like this in order to abuse others and to take advantage of their situation. So it's very sad stuff.
Super irresponsible stuff, too. To be like, well, I didn't know. If you don't know, just say no.
Yeah, you can check. I mean, yeah, you can, if you're not ask a couple of clarifying questions.
See, that's what a grown person, like a normal grown person does. But these are also people that are smashed out of their minds half the time when they're on tour. But yeah, maybe if you don't know, you just go a different direction.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm ready for it. We gotta wait for it, Rach. You gotta get your little. What a great song.
What is like, he we do got long beards and stuff.
Why does he make that noise?
I think it's cool. It's cool. Why do any singers make weird noises that aren't words?
So why did they have the long beards? Did they ever like go into any detail on this?
I just liked it. So yeah, it's a style thing. If you see them when they're young, they didn't have them and they look weird.
Yeah, it's like a branding thing basically. Because then they grew the beards and then they became like the band.
Kind of known for it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're the guitar guys with the beards.
But they were phenomenal. I mean, like legitimately great musicians. If anybody likes them, I think I've told Dave. I don't know if Dave's seen it or not. But there's a documentary that's out. I can't remember exactly where I saw it. It may be on YouTube. It may be on Netflix, but it's called ZZ Top, that little old band from Texas. It came out in 2019. It's unbelievably good. Super cool. You know, the band members are in it. It just tells their story, and there's a lot of their music. It's just nonstop through the whole thing, so it's very cool. And yeah, they definitely had that unique look. And then when the 80s rolled around, it got 80s-ified. I do think it's on Netflix, if I remember correctly. So if anybody wants to check that out, you should.
Very nice.
That's one of the things that was cool about that list is everything you listed, Rach. I'm like, man, I haven't heard that song in a while. I got to listen to that song. Oh, I didn't hear that one in a while either. Got to go listen to that song. Good times. The I've totally lost my train of thought for a second there. Oh, hey, I wanted to ask you guys this question. It's not related to music. I just wanted to ask you guys this the other day, and I didn't get to do this because... Like, texting is such a, like, it's what we do, right? Like, I have you guys ever gone to your phone and you open up and you're like, I have 75 unread texts in the last hour?
No.
Never done that? So you're on the wrong text chain.
Yes, I am.
I've got a...
Unpopular.
No, it's not that. It's just you're not
I
in the...
I think I've ever once had 75 unread text messages.
Last night, I mean, seriously, in 40 minutes, I went back in one text string, there were 57 messages.
We get it, man. People like you.
Well, you have friends.
I don't know. What are you doing here?
Nice.
What I'm saying is we're all in this texting world, and sometimes we get a lot of texts. We get a lot more than you're able to even keep up with. One of my buddies that's
never had that problem.
This is a group of guys. It's like 10, 12 people. And when you get going, people go back and forth. And all of a sudden you look back and it's like, oh, my God, how did that get there?
Don't have 12 friends.
We've had nights where a buddy of ours who lives in Florida he goes to bed early and he gets up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So he'll wake up in the morning and just send us a screenshot of how many unread texts he has from our thread alone. And it's like 260 because we're watching the same game and we're all texting back and forth. Well, the reason I bring this up is there's a lady that was asking how she could tell her friend not to text so much. And I'm like, well, you know, we're all in this and we all have different levels of that. You have, you know, like mine where sometimes it's a bit insane and normal people, which I would think is not quite that crazy. You ever dealt with anything like that where you're like, okay, this person, whoever it is texting me too often or too much at once or whatever? Because to me, It seems like an odd question, because if this person is your friend, my answer is just talk to your friend.
Yeah.
Or just don't answer. Feel like you need to answer at the moment you get the text. Just kind of get to it when you get to it.
Yeah, people are weird about texting. It's the kind of thing where if you're used to getting immediate gratification and an immediate response, I mean, this is something that just didn't exist 20 years ago.
No, you're right.
So it's something that it's new, and it's like, well, you have your phone. You should be answering me. And sometimes people just don't want to answer. Sometimes they're doing other things. They just don't want to be on their phone so much. I think if it is your friend, you should be able to say, like, hey, you know, look, I wouldn't necessarily go to anyone and say, don't text me so much. But I would say, don't expect me to answer you all the time. Like, you can, I mean, whatever you
want
to say, you can get it off
your
chest. But, like, I'm not always going to be available for a response.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if to take this seriously or not. We got a message from YouTube. It looks like it's Christo. I'm decoding there. Said, I had that many unanswered texts when I got out of jail. Ha ha.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I bet
did you
that
go to
is...
jail?
I would put it this way. If you are, you probably do get a lot of texts. People are like, dude, what's up? What's going on? What happened?
What were you in jail for?
Don't answer. You don't have to answer
that. Please tell us. I also would like to know, whenever you get your phone call in jail, do they let you see your phone so you can look up someone's number to call them?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
They have to.
Yeah,
like in today's age.
Nobody knows phone numbers anymore.
That's a really good point. Because I mean,
you shouldn't deny somebody their phone call or their regular phone call because they don't have a phone number.
I think I know maybe 4 phone numbers where I used to know them all of them. I don't know why. I just don't use that.
Yeah.
Why do I need to know it?
You don't need it. It's just something that faded away.
But so this text thing is interesting because you would think that people would understand another person isn't always holding their phone and able to answer.
And even if they are, they might not want to talk to you.
At that moment, right.
Right.
Right. You may be scrolling something and you're like, I'll get to all that stuff later. That's to me the interesting part is that do you guys think now this is the description that this person was not a young person.
Okay.
The person asking this sounded like they were my age-ish, and the friend they were talking about was actually older than them. So it wasn't like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, like people that would expect immediate response. So maybe that's not the expectation, but if someone's texting you too much, I think you just slow down your responses, and if they ask why, you're just like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm doing things. I put my phone down to take a shower, or I was working out, or whatever. I don't think it's that hard to be casual in sending a hint without being a jerk.
Yeah, there are people, though, that hints don't work.
No, like, that's true.
I think there are people you have to be like, you know, I am focused on other things. Like, I just think we're at like kind of a weird place in society where it's like, oh, they didn't answer me right away. I know they have their phone. It's like, yeah, at the end of the day, it might be rude to ignore someone's text message, but there's nothing that says you have to get back with someone right away.
I think if somebody's going to be going that far, maybe the whole friend thing could be reevaluated. Like, if you can't accept that I'm just not necessarily going to answer you immediately, then maybe go your own way.
Dang, he's going to cut him off quick.
Look.
First disagreement, Kevin's like, nah.
No.
I didn't say the first. I'm saying if you're going to let it bother you that much that I don't answer you immediately, then maybe I'm not the good friend for you, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, you're a bad person or you're wrong, but if you need that, you ain't getting it from me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I will answer in real time, like right away, if I'm sitting there and want to do that. But I don't always, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like, I feel like that's a ridiculous demand of someone who calls themselves your friend to say, you must reply to me immediately all the time. That's a lot.
Well, it's kind of a pretty self-centered way of viewing things even if someone has the free time to constantly be answering you, they're under no obligation to do that.
No.
I don't know. It's like you're obviously just kind of putting in you're wanting your validation. Texting is interesting because you're reading everything in your own tone and your own voice.
No, there's no question that can be a problem.
And like kind of assigning whatever meaning you want to this text-based communication. And I just think sometimes people go overboard with it. I would encourage the listener, whoever it was who's having this problem, to just stop answering.
Well, yeah, I mean, or slow it down, right? Yeah. Just get to it when you want to get to it. And if they say, why didn't you answer me? Just like, I'm working. I'm doing something. Or Dave, as Dave points out, Dave Hines says, hey, radio people, we always have the I had to pop into the booth to record something excuse. See, there you go. There's always a fair explanation.